Welcome to the Wild Heart Meditation Center podcast. We're excited to announce that we will now be releasing these episodes every week on Wednesday morning. The best way to support us is by clicking subscribe and taking a moment to rate the podcast wherever you listen. If you'd like to support our efforts to keep the nonprofit Meditation Center open in Nashville, you can donate via the Venmo app by sending your donation to @WildHeartNashville. Or you can go to wildheartmeditationcenter.org and click the donate tab. Thanks for listening.
All right, welcome to the Wild Heart Meditation Center podcast. This is Mikey Noschel. I hope y'all are well. Before we get started, I do want to shamelessly promote a retreat we are holding. It's Wild Heart Spring Retreat. It will be May 24th. 4th through the 31st at Heartwood Refuge in Hendersonville, North Carolina. 7 days, silence, a lot of meditating, a lot of silence. So it's a great way to spend a week. So it will be myself and Andrew Chapman teaching this. So if you want to learn any more about it, information will be at heartwoodrefuge.org, or you can visit our website, wildheartmeditationcenter.org, and click on the events tab. All right, the topic we have ahead of us is compassion for the devil. I love this topic. I love compassion. I love the devil. And just putting these two together, let's start with compassion. Compassion is considered the heart's response to pain. It's a sense of kindness towards pain, a non-reactive space to embrace and hold pain with a sense of gentleness. And, you know, it's our natural human tendency to hate pain. It's just based off our survival. We want to push out pain. But this counter-instinctual practice that leads us to the highest happiness available, which is peace, we develop a kindness with the pain so we can find a sense of peace even with our pain. So this aspect of compassion, in the Pali, Karuna. It's one of the four Brahma Viharas, and it's the expansion of the heart to include pain. And then when we think of pain, we got these little demons sitting in our heart, or like to say the devil. And the Buddhist version of the devil is what we considered Mara. Mara is the Buddhist version, well, roughly the Buddhist equivalent to the devil. And before we get to know who the devil is in Buddhism, we may want to get to know who the Buddha was. And starting from the beginning, there's this guy named Siddhartha Gautama. And as the story goes, he was a prince. He lived in extreme luxury, and his family wanted to keep him separate from anything that was unpleasant, any sort of sickness, any sort of death, any sort of aging. And he lived in luxury and pleasantness all of his life. But he discovered this aspect that he was just fucking miserable. You know, staying in luxury, staying in pleasure all the time, staying away from anything painful or difficult didn't lead to any sort of happiness. So he found himself miserable. So what he did was he left his palace, he left his luxury, and went into the spiritual practices of the time. And the spiritual practices of the time of Siddhartha Gautama were this extreme asceticism. They didn't want any pleasure. So he goes from one life that was all pleasure, and then he goes to this extreme of no pleasure ever. And so he wouldn't eat. He would eat, what they say, like one grain of rice a day. He had not much sleeping going on. Just really being out in the elements and really doing extreme concentration meditation where he just denied the world at all costs. And unfortunately, he had some success with this, but he didn't find that highest happiness of peace that he was looking for. And eventually, throughout this practice, and the story goes on, that he landed on this insight of the middle way, just being in relationship with pleasure and being in relationship to pain. So it's not about being in pleasure all the time, and it's not about being in pain all the time. It's about developing an open-hearted relationship to pain as it arises, an open-hearted relationship of appreciation when pleasure arises. So it's about our relationship to these things. And so when he had this insight, he decided to go for awakening. And what he did, he sat under a tree and was like, I'm not going to get up from this tree until I wake up, until I reach that place of peace. And what happened was this demon showed up. Mara showed up, this smelly, nasty, scary demon with fangs that showed up to shoot lightning bolts at Siddhartha to end his meditation, a big storm around Siddhartha, and to drive fear into Siddhartha. But rather than getting wrapped up in the storm, Siddhartha said, I see you, Mara. He saw straight into the storm, straight into the fear, and said, I know you, Mara. And Mara was seen and Mara was known. And so the storm stopped. And then so Mara decided to shoot arrows of hatred at Siddhartha. And rather than getting wrapped up into thoughts of I am a bad, hateful person, Siddhartha just saw, I see you, Mara, saw the hatred. I see you, I know you, and got to know his hatred, got to know Mara's hateful arrows that he was shooting at him. And so Mara decided to step it up a little bit. It gets a little silly from here that Mara called upon his daughters and asked his daughters to transform into sexy ladies. And so Siddhartha was trying to meditate, and all of a sudden these naked sexy ladies are dancing in front of him. And rather than getting caught up into all of that and stay in his meditation, he says, I see you, Mara. I know you, Mara. And so the last thing Mara did was just sat down. Mara just sat down in front of Siddhartha and was tried to reason with him, saying, oh, you know, this is all this awakening stuff is kind of, you know, silly, that's great and all, but you could be a king. And maybe you should give all this up and go be a great compassionate king. And with that, Siddhartha said, oh, I see you, Mara, and I know you, Mara. So he knew that seed of doubt that Mara was planting in his mind, rather than I am doubt or believing as doubt or self-identifying with his doubt. He says, I see you, Mara, and I know you, Mara, and got to know his doubt. And as the story goes on, Mara was saying, oh, nobody's in this forest to even see you wake up. Nobody cares that you're here for your awakening. And Siddhartha put his hand down on the earth and let the earth be his witness. And the earth shook, and Siddhartha woke up to become the Buddha. And I think this lesson is quite helpful. And how to have compassion for the devil. How to have compassion for Mara. So these mind states that arise in us, greed, hatred, doubt, worry, anxiety, any of these mind states that show up, let's start where Siddhartha started. I see you. I see you, Mara. And I like this idea of creating characters for some of our mind states. You may be like me. I know I have some mind states that play the same rerun over and over again. And when we have that rerun, sometimes it's like, oh, I see you. And we start to become familiar with the rerun. And this aspect of seeing, sometimes I do this with some of my students and I do it in my own practice. When we see that rerun of that mind state, it's fun to create the character. Somebody I know has these anxious thoughts and it's, oh, I see you, Mr. Squirmy, and created Mr. Squirmy, and their arms are squirming and their body is in a squirmy state and their mind's really squirmy and it's quite active. Or when somebody I work with has Judge Judy and her mind judges her that she's not pretty enough or doesn't dress well enough or isn't skinny enough. And so rather than fighting that mind state, just seeing, oh, I see you, Judge Judy. And Judge Judy's this, you know, wearing the judge robes and the gavel and all of that. And rather than self-identifying with those thoughts, she can just say, oh, I see you, Judge Judy. I get into my own mind states. My mind gets quite dismissive when I feel like somebody is kind of like the mainstream, somebody is well-to-do, somebody's put together. And in my line of work, sometimes I need to expand and work with some rather mainstream people. My mind will be, you know, trying to create some sort of like, you know, ethical component. Oh, this capitalist pig that, you know, is all rich and all, they think they're better than me and they're doing everything wrong. It's like, oh, that's my isolator. I said, oh, hello, isolator. And my isolator mind has like, he's like black blocked out. It has a Molotov cocktail ready to fuck anything up at any time. And it's like, oh, okay, I see you, rather than believing those thoughts as truth, you know, believing everything I think, I can just say, oh, I see you, isolator. So it's nice to see these mind states, even sometimes as characters. And sometimes we want to get to know these characters. And there's a popular story about the Buddha sitting down with Mara for tea. And in the story, the Buddha is in his place and is in his hut, and he's hanging out. And Ananda is outside looking out and seeing who's coming to visit the Buddha. And who is coming to visit the Buddha this time but good old Mara. And as Mara is coming up to visit the Buddha, Ananda says, oh, whoa, you know, you're Mara. You can't be here. The Buddha's in there. He doesn't want to see you. And Mara's like, really? Like, where do we go way back? I wanted to catch up with the Buddha and say hey to him. And Ananda was like, no, like, you're bad. The Buddha's good. You two should stay away from each other. And he was like, you're an enemy of the Buddha. And Mara was like, really? I don't think the Buddha has enemies. That doesn't make sense to me. And just go ask him. See if he wants to see me. And Ananda was like, yeah, you got a point. Let me go see what the Buddha has to say. And Ananda goes up to the Buddha and says, well, you know, you can't believe this shit. Like, Mara's here to see you. And remember that guy? And the Buddha lit up and was like, oh, Mara, welcome him in. And as Mara came in, the Buddha greeted Mara with a hug and was like, oh, come on in, come sit down, let's catch up. And the Buddha made tea for Mara, and they sat down and hung out and reminisced about the good old days of the dancing daughters and the storms and the arrows, and they laughed and had a good old time. And maybe someday I can be that way with my isolator mind, or my friend can be that with Judge Judy. And what we want to do is know Mara. I see you, Mara, but also I know you, Mara. And more we get to know Mara, we can be in a compassionate, friendly space with Mara. And how we do this is getting to know with asking questions. So a difficult mind state shows up. And if you haven't already, maybe reflect on what are some of your difficult mind states that show up. Do you mentally assassinate people like me? Do you have a sense of fear, anxiety, anything, grasping for pleasure as a way to avoid pain, whatever mind states that may be difficult, think about those and bring those to mind. And we'll do a little meditation around these too. But see it. Okay, I see you. I see that mind state. And getting to know it by welcoming it in to the body. These things show up in our body. And where in your body do you notice Mara resting or these difficult mind states resting? And welcoming in that aspect of the body in this too can be very grounding. And when we welcome in Mara into our body and see where Mara lives in our body, we want to get to know further by asking, what's our relationship to Mara? When my isolator mind shows up, Do I hate that mind state? Do I really like that mind state? Do I self-identify with that mind state? Or what we want to get to is a compassionate, non-identified way that we can sit back and have tea with it. Not overly identifying, but not pushing out. Just saying, I see you and I know you and I care about you. Okay, I can bring care towards Mara an understanding towards Mara. And this may take a while. I'm not going to say it's going to happen just like that. It may take some training to be kind towards Mara. And once we do that, we can start having conversations with Mara and getting curious and saying, oh, you know, like, what are you here for? Like, what's Mara's job? What's your job? And in my own practice, what I've noticed is Mara is a protector. It's this confused protector. I'm kind of borrowing this from internal family systems. But this aspect that Mara doesn't show up for no good reason. Mara is a part of our human system. This is our body regulating itself. So like my isolator, it has shown up throughout my life because it needs to protect an inner exiled wound in my heart. So as I grew up feeling like the weird kid and feeling that rejection as the weird kid in middle school and elementary school and maybe even younger, that Mara started showing up to project outward that these people are wrong. I am stable. I am correct. I'm not weird. They're the fucking weirdos. And what I needed that at the time because I didn't have space to hold that wound of weirdness, of rejection. And so Mara showed up to protect me. So it's thank you. Thank you, Mara, for showing up. And thank you for letting me know your job to be here. And then we can continue on further and really asking Mara, what are you afraid will happen if you don't do your job? And then that's we get to know that why is Mara working overtime sometimes? It's like maybe Mara can take a break. Maybe Mara can clock out for a little bit. But, you know, why haven't you taken a break, Mara? You need to clock out. And it's like, well, I'm afraid if I take a break, what will happen? You know? And this is like my exile wound of feeling rejection or weird or something like that. Mara's afraid if he goes away, I'm not going to be loved by the world. I'm going to be rejected by the world, and I am going to shut down because I will not have capacity to hold that wound. And that's interesting because Mara gets stuck in a certain place in time. You know, that I'm talking about old wounds, historic wounds. And so this is where we can have a conversation and asking Mara things like, well, how old do you think I am? And Mara, to me, can be like, well, I think you're 13. And then we can have a conversation with Mara and be like, Mara, I hope you realize I'm much older now. I'm much more equipped right now to hold this old wound. And it's okay. It's okay to take a break right now because I can be with this wound that's underneath this. And sometimes Mara or my isolator or whatever part that is coming up understands this because I'm having a kind, caring conversation. And it goes, oh, okay. And then what's left is this exiled feeling of being weird or exiled feeling of being rejected or othered. And that's a whole nother process of bringing compassion towards. And what we want to do is have compassion even towards that exiled part and feel that part. What's our relationship with that part? Can we be kind and compassionate to the feeling of rejection? Where does rejection show up in the body? What's my mind's relationship with rejection? Can I move that mind state towards compassion towards that rejection and care for that rejection? And over time, more I do this, the less Mara shows up. And so that's why hatred is not a piece through hatred. Hatred is a piece through love. Because the more I love the fullness of my experience, the less Mara will be there and the less we'll need Mara. But until then, Mara ain't all that bad, you know? Like my mind state of isolating, of mentally assassinating people, it's okay. It's there to help me. And I think what happens is if we try to defeat Mara before he's ready to go, we're just left with an open wound. And it's just is not going to be pretty. That's where the internal family systems, they say, have firefighters show up. And so that's where, you know, my drinking, I'll drink that stuff down if I don't have the capacity to hold it. So Mara is kind of the next best thing, and respect Mara as he shows up, or whatever difficult mind states show up, because it's there to do a job. And it's almost have appreciation for Mara as he shows up. It's like, oh, thank you. You're part of my human body regulating itself. And so what a beautiful thing for Mara to do. And so have respect. Respect Mara. See Mara, know Mara, and also respect Mara. So we're going to do a little meditation around this. So what I'm going to do is ask you to bring up some sort of Mara, some sort of protector. And I want you to go to the deepest, most exiled wound. I just want you to stay on the surface. Meet yourself exactly where you're at. I don't want you to get ambitious. Sometimes this ambitiousness is a subtle form of hatred. That we're going to solve Mara. We're going to figure out Mara. What I want you to do is just see right now, or just in the past week, what's some difficult mind states that have been showing up in your life? And that's the ones I want you to work with. So with that reflection, I invite you to find yourself in a meditative posture, a way we can feel the body. Since we'll be exploring the body, we want to have some body awareness. And if you're able to, I invite you to sit in an upright posture, a sturdy posture with an upright spine. And we want to invite this evenness to this upright posture with a soft, gentle body around the upright posture. And if it's comfortable for you, if you're in a place that you're able to, I invite you to allow your eyes to close. And just taking time to arrive into the space around you. All of the sounds and the smells and the temperature on the skin. Just relaxing and arriving into the spaciousness. And checking in with the breath, maybe inviting in some deep regulating breaths. Just breathing in, and as you breathe out, a long, gentle exhalation. Each time you breathe, a long, gentle exhalation. Just resting the mind on an easeful, gentle relaxation. Now I invite you to bring to mind any of this inner critic, inner protector, this inner Mara that comes to mind. Just taking time to invite Mara in. And as you welcome Mara in, this inner protector in, notice where it seems to be located in your body. And once you've located, if you're able to locate this in your body, maybe using that as the anchor. You know, we may use the breath as the anchor, moving this anchor to this certain point in the body. And once you've found this space in the body, you placed your awareness on the space in the body, notice how you feel towards it. How do you feel towards Mara? And once you notice how you feel towards Mara, if it's any sort of aversion or avoidance, maybe welcoming in just gentle phrases of, I see you, I know you, I care about you. I see you, I know you, I care about you. I see you, I know you, I care about you. Bringing in those just silent phrases towards this inner protector of care. And as we sit down with Mara, begin to explore any of the messages that Mara may have for you, asking very open-endedly what it wants you to know. Not forcing an answer, not trying to figure anything out. Just be patient, sitting down with Mara, and just say, what does it want you to know? What does Mara want you to know? Is Mara here to perform some sort of service for you? Protect you in some way? Is it letting you know what its job is? What does Mara want you to know? And continuing this process of investigation, asking Mara, what is it afraid will happen if it didn't do its job? What is this protector afraid will happen if it didn't show up? Maybe bringing in a sense of appreciation for Mara, that Mara is here to protect you. And some understanding and knowing. And maybe then continuing to ask, how old does Mara think you are? And if Mara thinks you're a different age than you are, maybe updating, sitting down face to face with this protector and letting it know that you're grown up now, you're a different age now. So as you get to know each other, acquainting, sitting down for tea together, maybe asking Mara, what does he need from you in the future? What does this protector need from you in the future? Is there any way you can support this protector or support Mara? And if it feels right, begin to thank Mara for revealing this. Thank the protector for letting you know anything that it wanted you to know, any way it revealed itself. And also, if it didn't reveal itself, acknowledging that it wasn't ready to tell you. And that's okay. Having patience and still respecting and being compassionate and kind towards this protector. And now I invite you to welcome back some deep breaths, deep exhalations, and scanning through the body, feeling anything felt in the body, being gentle with this body as you allow your eyes to open and welcome yourself around the room and the spaciousness around you, looking around, feeling all that spaciousness. And we'll end this meditation with the sound of the bell. All right, thank you.